This is the WHL This Week radio edition, presented by the Western Hockey League. Here's your host, John Keane.
Hey, welcome to WHL This Week. Ahead, we'll have a closer look at the Tri-City Americans through the eyes of General Manager Bob Torrey, the ups and downs of the season, and the battle for home ice advantage in Round 1. We'll take a closer look at the playoff chase in Medicine Hat. Head coach GM Willie Desjardins talking about the turnaround season. And in Kelowna, the Rockets' recent run has them all but clinched a postseason berth. Head coach Chris Millette will break down their situation. And what a week for Winnipeg ice forward Zach Benson. He's the WHL Player of the Week. He'll be our guest. And the WHL has announced its Players of the Month for February. We'll take a look. First up, the Tri-City Americans are right in the fight for home ice advantage in round one of the WHL playoffs. And veteran general manager Bob Torrey at the helm in Kennewick, Washington, joins us on the WHL Weekly Radio Show. Bob, thanks for making time for us to explain what's going on down in Tri.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, John.
Hey, I have to think that you are probably pretty excited with where your team's at after missing the playoffs last year and now right in the mix and went through one of the hottest stretches of any team in the WHL a few weeks ago. There has to be, you know, some optimism around your team this year.
Yeah, we're certainly happy in a number of areas, both on and off ice. Certainly the team is for probably a year ahead of where we thought we'd be. We made some additions to our roster early in the year and battled some injuries and have actually played quite well. And like you said, we did have that one hot stretch where things went really well. We're in a little bit of a funk right now, but for us, the biggest thing now is to get prepared for the playoffs. So be playing well going into the playoffs, make sure you get your guys adequate rest and take care of any injuries and bumps and bruises. And it would be nice to get home ice, but it'll probably go right down to the end between us, Prince George and Everett, to see how that 4, 5, 6 slots itself. And, in the end, it just matters that you're ready to go come playoff time. And, you know, it's been an exciting year. We added new seats into our building, which changed the atmosphere in our rink quite a bit. And I think we're starting to get the fans back post-COVID, which is exciting, I think, for all teams in the league. So I think all in all, it's a good year for the WHL with the number of high draft picks in the league and the league hosting the Memorial Cup. And then you throw in Seattle and Winnipeg and maybe even Portland and the quality of teams that are out there, it's been an exciting year.
Yeah, you're right, and thanks for hitting on all of those. And you have a really high-end draft pick prospect in Lukas Dragicevic. And, you know, everyone wants to be have a player that is a first-rounder from their team. And, you know, Lucas has sure grown, hasn't he, in his time in Tri-City?
Yeah, he sure has. I mean, he came in last year at 16, like all 16-year-olds, and found his way. And this year he just sort of emerged and just had a super season from start to finish. And you know, you look at those numbers for a 16-year-old defense or a 17-year-old defenseman, it's, you almost catch yourself like, how is he doing this? But the biggest thing for Lucas has been his consistency from start to finish. I mean, very seldom does he have a weak game, and you know, sometimes he has the games where he puts up big numbers, but he's been very consistent right through.
Your head coach Stu Barnes, I think, has done a great job there this season.
Tremendous job, John. Yeah. The second year, I mean, the first year is always tough, especially coming back from pro. And I think one of the other things we did was we added two new associate coaches this year. We added Jody Hull, who was a longtime head coach in the OHL, and TJ Miller, who had worked with us as an intern in the past and was working with the Toronto Maple Leafs in their diversity program. And I think that what that did, it gave Stu more ability to delegate duties, more time with video with players, more one-on-one touches with players with the expanded staff. I think that's had a tremendous impact, and he's been able to utilize for the most part four lines and play all our guys. And like I said, we started a little slow, but we had that hot streak that put us right up there. And now we're in that battle for that home ice, which would be nice, but doesn't have to be ultimate. You know, being in the playoffs is as important.
I look around the league, Bob, and you have the biggest group of forwards in the WHL. Seen that on display a few times this season. Was that by design, or did it just sort of work out that way?
Well, usually it just sort of works out that way, but it is a little bit by design. I mean, certainly, you know, over the years we've had some big forwards, big players, but we've also had some tremendous small guys. Like you look back at Colton Yellowhorn and Cruz Reddick and Johnny Lazo and Brendan Shinneman. So, I mean, I think it takes a combination of a lot of things to make a team work. But we certainly, you know, we do have a large group when we play a power game. you know, I think our team is quite effective, and we play north-south game and get on the cycle in the offensive zone. We can be quite effective. You know, we've had some good games with some of the elite teams like Seattle and Kamloops, so that makes me think that, you know, we've made a lot of progress from the start of the year.
Big weekend, with that said, 3-3 with some of the top teams in the U.S. division. Is this a measuring stick weekend for your team, Bob?
Yeah, I think a little bit. I mean, we get through this weekend and then the schedule eases up a little bit. Like I said, I think more importantly is, and we've talked about this with the coaching staff, is just keeping everything positive and trying to play a good, solid game. I mean, obviously you want to win those games, but more importantly is to try to get back to playoff type of hockey where you're minimizing mistakes and making the other team beat you rather than giving them opportunities because of breakdowns or decisions. So I think as much as it is, it isn't as well. It's more of a case of, okay, we got 10 games left. Let's get our game in order. Let's get healthy. Let's manage the ice time so that come playoff time, we're as good as we can possibly be.
We're nearly 6 minutes into this, and we haven't even mentioned Jordan Gavin yet, the second overall pick from the WHL Prospects Draft. He's having a great 16-year-old season, I would think.
Yeah, tremendous. Jordan is he's an interesting player, very high hockey IQ. He's adapted very well. Certainly, he's put up tremendous numbers along with Berkeley Catton in Spokane for 16-year-olds. Very low-maintenance, humble kid. So, you know, probably has exceeded expectations because, as you know, this is a tough league for young guys. But he's been given an opportunity to get some power play time and given an opportunity to play on a good line with Jake Sloan, his billet brother. The future looks bright for him, specifically since he's a late birth date and he really was 15 for most of the half of the year. So he doesn't draft for 2 years. So he's had a tremendous start.
Wow, that is incredible for sure. Are you starting to size up a playoff opponent? We talked about the three teams moments ago, sort of in that 4-5-6 mix, yourself, Prince George, the Everett Silvertips. You've played Everett very tough this season. That would be quite the travel, Tri-City to Prince George. And maybe that's why you want to avoid the Cougars in round one, but take me through a potential playoff opponent, Bob.
Yeah, I mean, we've played very well against Everett this year, even before they made their trades with Zellweger and Hoffer. So, you know, that would be a good matchup. Travel would be fine. Certainly, Portland has a high potent offense, but we've played some good hockey with them, and we've got some games coming up with them. Again, travel wouldn't be much. Prince George, I think we split with them, but they do have a very good hockey team, maybe a little underrated. People don't realize they've played very well lately, and certainly, you know, right now with their schedule, it looks like they might have the inside track to home ice, but you never know. But the downside of Prince George is now the travel. I don't know if you could get any further in the Western Conference Tri-Cities to Prince George.
Yeah.
That, you know, you'd probably have to play a 2-3-2. I don't know if you could do it any other way. I guess you could go the other way, but boy, that would be an extra trip for whoever comes out of that series. So, I mean, you kind of don't want to pick your poison because, you know, come playoff time, anybody can win. We're going to have to play good hockey to beat any of those teams, Everett, Portland, or Prince George.
Well, you've definitely done a good job retooling on the fly in Tri-City in a situation now where you're battling for home ice advantage, and that's a feather in the cap. Bob, thanks for breaking down what's going on with the Tri-City Americans here on WHL this week.
Always a pleasure, and all the best.
From the drop of the puck to the Edschanoth Cup, this is the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
The Medicine Hat Tigers are in a playoff race after missing the postseason last year. I spoke with Tigers coach and GM Willie Desjardins.
Willie, first of all, I would think many would think that maybe you're overachieving this year with this hockey team. Maybe not, but take me through how you think the year has gone. You're sitting in a playoff spot right now.
Yeah, we're excited to be in a playoff spot for sure. You know, we've gone young the last couple of years, like really young last year, and you know, we were hoping to try to make a run at the playoffs this year. Didn't know if we'd quite get there. But we've played pretty good of late. You know, I think teams are taking us a little bit lightly, so it's going to get a little tougher from here on in. But I do like our group. You know, we play pretty hard, and we're getting better.
I remember those fast, speedy, and then bigger blue line Tigers teams from the 2000s and 2010s, and it looks like that's what you're trying to build here once again.
Yeah, a little bit. We got a pretty solid defense. That's probably the best part of our game. Our forwards are young, and we're trying to get a little quicker with them for sure. You know, I think that You know, you kind of always work with whatever you got. And, you know, this year we did try to get a little bit more speed in the lineup.
Wanted to ask you about Gavin McKenna. He's having a heck of a Canada Winter Games in PEI. You've had him in the lineup now for a handful of games on this side. Some people are trying to say he's, like, the next one based on, you know, his tournament he's having. You've had a good look at him. First overall pick from a year ago. What do you see in Gavin McKenna and his ceiling?
Well, that is the one reward for what we had last year and went through. And, you know, we kind of knew we needed to rebuild. So we deserve a good player after going through that year. But he is a good player. You know, you can't say where he's going to be. He's too young still. But every level he's at, he's done well. So we're just hoping that continues. And only time will tell with it. But he's a good player.
In Kelowna, the Rockets are closing in on a playoff X beside their name, knowing they'll get a tough first-round opponent. More with Regan Bartel.
Thanks, John. Well, the Rockets are playing some good hockey. Chris Millett, Kelowna Rocket head coach, joins us for a few minutes just to get his perspective on down the stretch here as you try to fend off Victoria and potentially try to catch Vancouver. I guess, is it the old adage for you? Is it one game at a time at this point?
Yeah, I think, I mean, we've been getting better and better each game progressively. We got more consistent in areas that obviously earlier in the year had been our Achilles heel. So we're getting good goaltending right now. Guys are sacrificing and you know, we're getting results because of it.
And you're getting healthier, right? That makes a massive difference.
Well, I mean, when you can insert a player like Andrew Crystal back into your lineup, not only does he produce for your team right away, but he also gives confidence throughout the group that, you know, if there is a big moment that, you know, he's usually around it. And it also solidifies some lines for us where we're able to kind of spread the wealth a little bit more and have a maybe a two-line attack or a three-line attack, which we hadn't had up until that point where we weren't healthy.
When you look at a Kamloops, a Portland, a Seattle, those are the top dogs in the Western Conference. They play consistently well. When you look at your team or teams in the lower echelons of the conference, is it just inconsistent play? Is that the reason why teams like, let's say, yours struggle or look really good one night and don't look very good the next?
Yeah, I think that's a big piece with it. I think also age comes into to play with teams that have some older players that have gone through stretches where potentially they face a little bit of adversity. Depth is a big thing. Obviously, some teams, they all go through injuries, but I think that there's a little bit more depth potentially on those top teams. It has been tough because it's, you know, one ill-advised decision or a bad penalty or, you know, goaltending was an issue and, you know, a bad goal here led to, you know, a lot of those one-goal games that we weren't able to get over the hump with. So we're trying to get as consistent as possible in our systematic play. And you know, we are seeing results from it, but also it's gaining confidence within our group because of it. So, yeah, the top teams, they've got a group that, like I said, leadership probably plays a big part of it as well, guys that have been around. And in Kamloops' case, you know, they've traded for Holfer and obviously Owen Zellweger, two players that, you know, are big stage players. So that just solidifies with their group and Stankoven and so on. Just go down the list. In Seattle, well, we don't need to go there.
Right. Potentially, if you would stay in the eighth seed, you could face Seattle in round number one. But hey, let's don't put the cart before the horse. Kelowna Rocket head coach Chris Millett for just a few minutes. The fact that you're playing for so much each and every night at this juncture of the year, is that a good thing? Is it a bad thing? There's probably some teams that are right now in neutral because they maybe can't go higher. They can't go lower. They're in no man's land. You guys were in a similar situation, was it not, last year where you were the fourth seed. You couldn't go up. You couldn't go down. You were stagnant.
Yeah, I think that it's an opportunity to get some younger players into the game. It's an opportunity to allow some guys to heal up. But no, we're fighting. We need every horse that we've got in the room to be able to play on any given night. And I don't mind it. I mean, it's nice to have that pressure because last year, in, I think, what, we won 9 in a row going into playoffs and obviously come into Seattle, who we weren't ready for what they were. And they were very good and battle-tested. They had some big battles against some division foes before. And I don't mind being where we're at. It would obviously be nice to have an X beside your name. But you know what? We're just going to continue to try and build that that consistency like you talked about, and we'll see where it takes us.
John, that's the voice of Kelowna Rocket head coach Chris Millett. Yeah, the Rockets have a lot to play for in the final month of the regular season.
The Western Hockey League Player of the Week.
Hey, what a week for Winnipeg Ice forward and top NHL draft eligible forward Zach Benson. He's the WHL Player of the Week. Brian Munns has more.
Zach, for the second time this year, congratulations, the Western Hockey League's Player of the Week. Your thoughts on what you were able to do on the road as your club is close to completing this 2.5-week tour?
Yeah, I think right from the first game that we've had, we've played full 60 minutes in every game. I think our last game versus Medicine Hat obviously didn't go the way we wanted it to, but you know, tomorrow night's a new night, and we look to you know, kind of build off to where we were before the Medicine Hat game.
Let's take a look at the week that it was against the Swift Current Broncos, a goal and an assist. 2 days later in Calgary, you picked up a four-point morning against the Hitmen. Maybe let's stop right there. From playing the Broncos to an early game inside Scotiabank Saddledome, what was that experience like for you?
Yeah, obviously it's super cool to play in the Saddledome, NHL arena. It was packed with students, so it was pretty cool to have one of those games. You know, obviously bright and early, 11 a.m., you know, it was a little different, but you know what, I enjoyed it.
One assist in a 4-2 victory over the Red Deer Rebels. How about the way your hockey club was able to play against one of those upper echelon teams here in the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, it was a really good game. Went right down to the wire. Obviously, we lost. We were short a couple bodies, so you know, there was lots of ice time that game for our nine forwards that were in. But I think we did a great job, and you know, we ultimately got the win.
And then on Sunday, a six-point performance against the Edmonton Oil Kings. 3 goals and 3 assists.
Yeah, it was you know, it was a good game. We switched lines up a bit, and I think me and Geeks found some chemistry, and you know, Lats there. So it was a good game, and you know, the next night, obviously, we had another good game.
Expand on that, because James Patrick has moved some of the pieces around on this current Western tour. What's that been like for you as a group, as you kind of try and tinker a little bit here, as to, you never know if you have to switch things up down the road?
Yeah, I think everyone's just had an open mindset. They're always, everyone on this team's so good about it. We want to win. So Jeep kind of just said, you know, you never know who you're going to be playing with in the playoffs. You never know what happens. So I think he just wanted to try different people in different positions. And you know what, I think it worked.
You've been able to eclipse the 90-point mark. Is it something you had looked at coming into this year? Did you have any goals? Are you there yet? Can you share anything with us in that regard?
Yeah, I think everyone kind of has their personal goals. You know, I'm not quite at mine yet. I hope to get there. But, yeah, it's obviously super cool playing with some really good hockey players. Been playing with Matt Savoy and Connor McLennan most of the year. So we've found some good chemistry, and we just look to keep going here.
The last game your hockey club played in Medicine Hat, you lost, and now you get ready for back-to-back games coming up this weekend against Regina and Brandon. Did you notice a little bit of extra coming from the Tigers, and probably expect that same from the Pats and Wheat Kings here, as they're in that mix of 6 or 7 teams that are battling for a playoff spot?
Yeah, absolutely. Med Hat, you could tell they're desperate. You know, those points are huge for them, and I don't think we did our best job of defending. So I think these next two games, these two teams are in the same boat. You know, they're both fighting for that last playoff spot, or the last couple playoff spots. So, you know, we gotta play our game. We gotta stick to our system, and I think we'll be good.
Finally, how about the matchup here against Regina? Obviously, it's a nationally televised game on TSN. You're close with number 98, so you've seen them on this trip already too. What do you take out of that game and look at here specifically for this game against Regina?
Yeah, I thought we played a full 60 that game. You know, they're a good team. They got some high-end players. Obviously, with Bedard, he's a special player. You got to limit his time and space. And I think last game we did a pretty good job of that, but I think we can do a better job tomorrow night.
Congratulations again, the Western Hockey League's Player of the Week.
Yeah, thank you.
You're listening to the WHL This Week, Radio Edition.
Prince George Cougars forward Chase Wheatcroft has been named the McSweeney's WHL Player of the Month for February.
Jack the Weeb, Chase Wheatcroft scores! This is number 40 from Chase Wheatcroft, and the Cougars have a 5-0 lead!
Weedcroft led all WHL skaters with 28 points, 12 goals, and 16 assists during the month, helping the Cougars go to a 10-2 record and clinch a berth in the 2023 WHL playoffs. Seattle Thunderbirds goaltender Thomas Milich has been named the WHL Goaltender of the Month for February. The 2023 NHL draft prospect surrendered just 11 goals in 7 appearances in February. He finished 7-0 with a 1.55 goals against average and a .944 save percentage along with 2 shutouts. And Regina Pats forward Alexander Suzdalev has been named the WHL Rookie of the Month. No stranger to this award. He also picked it up back in December. Washington Capitals prospect led all first-year players with 9 goals in the month, finishing with 15 points in 10 games. Hey, that's the show. Big thanks to Regan Bartel in Kelowna and Brian Munns with the Winnipeg Ice. Thanks, guys. I'm John Keane. Thanks for listening.